go. What's up, comic book fans? This is from Comic Books Transformed, where we talk about the adaptations of your favorite comic books into movies and streaming shows. And of course, we are talking about another Star Wars property that is streaming on Disney Plus. Today, me and my good friend Brian are here to talk about Ahsoka Episode 7, which is entitled Dreams and Madness. Brian,
why
you're sure
that title?
Yeah, yeah. On the Disney Plus, a lot of times it'll just say like Episode 7, but then if you give it like a day, the title will come up.
Yeah, I guess they don't want to spoil the show, you know, before you watch it, but I guess they don't care if you don't watch it immediately.
Right, right. And all the reviews, like people get to see this stuff way in advance usually, and they have the titles in the reviews too.
Yeah, I feel like every time I've watched it, it's always, even with like going back with Andor and Mandalorian, you know, it's always episode number and that's it.
Do you never like read anybody's reviews of episodes?
I do, but I guess I just haven't. I had not seen that title for this one yet. So,
yeah. Well, that was one of my questions. What do you think Dreams and Madness refers to?
I don't know. I didn't know it was the title, so I wasn't thinking about it. But
yes.
Off the cuff, I don't have an answer for that.
I don't think there's a very obvious answer. I was thinking like dreams. The first thing I could think of off the top of my head is like maybe there's Ezra's dream to return to the regular galaxy.
Okay.
And then madness, maybe that's like hinting at what we're going to see happen with Baylan. Baylan's
yeah,
skull.
I am. To me, that is still the most interesting point here. And I have a really horrible feeling that I'm building this up to quote-unquote Mephisto levels here.
Yes, yes.
And it's going to be a letdown for whatever it actually is.
Yeah.
But that aspect has me by far the most interested in this mm-hmm. show, on what he's doing there and what he wants to do.
Yeah. Have we talked about Abeloth at all, ever?
Abeloth? No, I don't believe so.
Okay. So this is a little bit of a spoiler for the Expanded Universe, but in the Star Wars Expanded Universe, when they reached the end of that run, like when it was kind of coming to a close, they had this series called, I believe it was called Legacy of the Force. I think that's what it was called. And it was like all the novels and stuff that were happening like 30 years after Return of the Jedi, if not more. You had Luke and Leia and all the main characters, but you had a whole bunch of characters they introduced over the years. And there'd always been like sort of the big bad that were in multiple books. And the main big bad at the very end was Abeloth, which was this sort of like force deity who is like from the dark side. And she was like real scary too.
Interesting. No, I don't think I've heard that before. And I didn't even consider that to be a female character. It sounds like a menacing, monstrous creature almost.
Yeah, it sounds like something out of like Lovecraft, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And the thing is that she kind of is like that. When you see pictures of her, there's one picture you always see if you just type in a Google search of Abeloth, where she kind of has like this sort of white wraith-like face with black eyes and white hair. And then she has like teeth that like it's almost as if there's no cheeks and her teeth go all the way back to the back of her head.
Oh!
There you go. See?
Okay, yeah.
That's
pretty creepy for Star Wars.
Yes, exactly. So some people have theorized that like Baylan's skull might meet her.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. I even just searching the name there, I already see a screenshot or two of drawings of Abeloth and Baylan here. So clearly it's on people's radar.
Yeah. Well, their radars are really fucking wonky, man, because another thing that's on the radar is, that Baylan's skull might be Obi-Wan's brother. Have you heard that?
Yeah, I need you to explain that. I have not heard or seen anything about that whatsoever, and I can't even fathom what could be connected there.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to say my quote, so get your drink of choice out. But on Twitter, right? So take your first shot. On Twitter, someone was saying that, like, I wasn't believing the Baylan as Obi-Wan's brother theories, but after this episode, I'm starting to lean that way. Like, apparently there's theories about that.
Okay. Oh, and who said that?
Just some rando on Twitter.
Oh, a random person. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah, there's a lot. Like, I saw a couple of memes today that were really fucking fantastic. You know, there's always the same things. There's a couple of memes that were like that shot of, like, Cutter when he's in the Senate and the Senator Ziono is like a mere droid, and Cutter's going like this. And yeah. And they, some people had like captions for what he was saying. They're like,
yeah, I kind of had some thoughts on that as well.
Right, like, right. So that was one meme that went around. And then there was another meme where it was all about like when Thrawn finds out that Ahsoka's master was Anakin.
Yes.
Like his reaction, like he seemed like kind of stunned.
Yes, I was reading something about that, that I guess this would fall into expanded universe, but that Thrawn had met Anakin Skywalker in the past, and he was one of the few that figured out that Anakin was Darth Vader. Like, not, it was not known, which right. I never really knew that.
Right.
It wasn't known that he was, but I thought that was a cool detail, and it kind of adds to his character, which I think they're doing a very good job of portraying here.
Yes. They're doing an awesome job with Thrawn. Here's a little bit of a spoiler for the Thrawn book. I'm sorry, but it pertains to what we're talking about. In the very beginning, when he meets the Emperor, he's very bold, because he's always bold anytime he interacts with anybody. And the Emperor is almost about to dismiss him, and then Thrawn's like, I wondered what happened to that warrior, Anakin Skywalker. He says something like that, and then the Emperor kind of pauses for a second, and it turns out that Thrawn did have like a little adventure with Anakin, and that's in canon too.
Okay, so that is newer then. That's interesting, and that's cool that you've actually heard that in the audiobook you're listening to.
I love it, man. The guy that does the audio, the narration sounds just like the Thrawn in the show. It's just it's so fucking juicy and good. So good. But you know, we're kind of all over the map here with the different things going on. Why don't we just start off with that Senate scene in the beginning?
Sure.
So did you like that scene?
Yeah, you know what? I did. It does kind of give you like some slightly subpar Andor vibes.
Yeah.
But I want to say that this was one of the most I think this might have been one of the better scenes that Mary Elizabeth Winstead has been in, because sometimes she seems like she struggles when she's acting on a vacuum without anybody there, but when people are there, like, yeah, like that was pretty good, I thought.
Agreed. Agreed.
I like the scene in general. I liked it takes place on Coruscant. It's interesting to learn now. We also learn that, you know, where in the timeline this falls, because they say this happens after the Battle of Mandalore with Gideon. And then you just kind of see the Senate in action, and you kind of get a vibe that, you know, the Senate's doing the same bullshit things that they would have done in the first place that allowed the Empire to rise. I mean,
right.
And it's just like, it's funny watching it like that, but it's interesting to me.
Yes.
That they're making the same mistakes over again.
Yes. And that's actually why I like the Baylan Skoll stuff, because he's saying like, this is essentially a cycle that repeats itself. And I mean, we do see that with the First Order, where like the First Order comes to power now because the Republic is so lame.
Yeah, essentially. Yeah. And I took Baylan's thoughts on that to be more about the Force.
Yeah.
But I mean, I guess it does tie into the larger war anyway.
Yeah, because the Force connects everything.
Yeah, there's the good side of the Force, and there's the Sith Lord and the Apprentice on the other side, you know. So it really does tie into the larger thing.
Yeah. As far as that scene on Coruscant, it's always great to see Mon Mothma. Another thing I saw on Twitter was that there was like a picture of her, and there was a picture of that Senator Siono, and they were like, oh, Mon Mothma's thinking to herself, I sold my daughter to a gangster for all this bullshit. I love that.
Oh, yeah. And that's where the subpar thing kind of comes in, because it's like, you think about things like that, it's like, that was like a crazy powerful scene and storyline in Andor. Yes. And it's just like, sometimes Andor is just too good for Star Wars, I guess.
Right, right.
Which, exactly. I don't want to say it like that because it sounds like derogatory, but I mean, like, Andor really was that great, and it deserves better, I guess.
Yeah. There's always been this weird political stuff that's married to Star Wars because of the prequels, right? There's always this idea of like, this is what the Republic was like, and there's a Senate, and they need to get these votes, and that's why they're doing all this stuff on Naboo. So there's always this weird kind of bureaucracy that's just stuck into Star Wars since the prequels. I mean, even going back to the first Star Wars, A New Hope, where they talk about like the Senate being dissolved. Do you remember that?
Wow. I guess it's been a while. No, I don't.
They're on the Death Star. It's that meeting where all the moffs and admirals are talking. Yeah, and they're basically like, how are we going to stay in control if the Senate's not there anymore? And they're like, well, we got the Death Star now, bitches, you know? And I don't know, I just... but what I was going to say is that, like, this idea of, like, politics in Star Wars has always been there, but a lot of the times it'll feel like it's just there because we have to kind of show that the universe is not just this outlaw thing, that, like, there was this sort of, like, system of government. But a lot of times it just feels like you're just kind of saying, this is what it's like. Like, it doesn't really matter. And or it really, like, you really do feel the bureaucracy. You really do feel what it's like to live in the world.
Yeah.
You know? Because most of Star Wars is just kind of like, it's almost like a post-apocalyptic thing where it's like, well, society did exist at one point, but now it's all rebellious. And you know, it's like the Wild West.
Yeah, it's the wild, it's just, it's, you know, it's a Western in space. That's what it's always been, really. I mean, since the first one. But yeah, you definitely get that vibe. Is, you know, very small settlements. There's not tons of people around all over the place. Everywhere they go is really pretty empty for the most part. So
yeah. Yeah. And I mean, like, we do see stuff with the New Republic and all these shows like The Mandalorian and Book of Boba Fett and this. But it's always this feeling of like that they're incompetent and it's going to just collapse.
Well, they are incompetent and it will collapse.
Right, exactly. but what do you think about the cameo from C-3PO?
I loved it. It's always nice to see those kind of familiar faces in those characters. And my wife is an especially big fan of C-3PO. She loves C-3PO for whatever reason. Most people like R2 better. She likes C-3PO better. So to me, it was exciting to see. And I can't wait for her to see it because she's an episode behind or an episode or two episodes behind at this point.
Oh, okay. Cool. Yeah. You know, a lot of times when they have these random cameos, I kind of roll my eyes. I'm like, oh, did they need to show this person? But this time it felt right. It felt like it made sense.
And it was certainly better than them rolling out a CG Princess Leia.
Yes. Totally 100% agreed. Yeah. And then yet another thing I think I saw on Twitter, or maybe it might have been in a YouTube video from Eckhart's Ladder, is that Mon Mothma essentially was like filling in for the audience, like the Star Wars fan audience, where they're like, oh, it's C-3PO. Meanwhile, she probably sees C-3PO like every fucking day, you know?
Yeah, I'm sure they have communications, but it did kind of seem like he just arrived, sort of, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, apparently there's this really great Star Wars book called Bloodline that talks about like Princess Leia in the New Republic, like just prior to The Force Awakens, because really what's going on with her from this time that we're at right now on this show to The Force Awakens is that she's kind of aware of the rise of the First Order, and she's trying to prevent it from happening.
Yeah, although I was a little confused about what this council was and where she is. I mean, they mentioned something about her being like the head of like the defensive council or something.
Yeah.
But I am curious to know, like, what was that particular council in this episode called? They didn't say it, I don't believe. It was just...
Yeah.
Like what are if she's a senator and she's elsewhere, like, what are they?
And, yeah, I don't know. That's curious. A really good point. I should have paid more attention. But that Ziono guy, like, he's definitely, like, the thorn in Mon Mothma's side and in Leia's side. And I don't know if we mentioned this in previous episodes, but... he's the father of the main character on that show, Resistance.
Interesting. I have not watched that either.
Yeah.
I did buy it digitally once because it was like $2 for the season. It must have been an error, but I have the whole season and I'll pay $2 for it.
That's pretty awesome. Yeah. I mean, that kind of era in Star Wars doesn't really have that much appeal for me, like the sequel era anymore. I used to be excited about Force Awakens and The Last Jedi, and I fucking hate The Rise of Skywalker. But I just kind of don't care about that stuff right now, you know?
Yeah, and so understandable.
Yeah. But anyway, let's go back to this episode. So we have this little prologue where they basically establish that, like, you know, Hera's kind of backpedaling, and she's saying that Leia gave her permission to go take on this mission, but, you know, Leia really didn't give her permission beforehand. She's doing it, like, retroactively. I saw a theory that this is Eckhart's Ladder, where he said that the characters aren't going to return from this other galaxy. That like Ezra, Sabine, and Ahsoka are not going to return. Do you think there's any validity to that?
Ooh, man. Maybe because this is the second to last episode, and I feel like, although I did enjoy the episode overall, like not a crazy amount of development happened in terms of like setting up the finale. Yeah. I mean, clearly Thrawn is setting up to leave, and I do believe he will return to the main galaxy. I think that has to happen.
I do, but too.
That's a really good question, and I think really it all rests on what the hell Baylan's doing. If what he's doing is something so, it's got to be something big. Yeah. It has to be. And yeah. We really don't know what the hell it could be, but I could see the only reason I could see them being stranded there is if they had to stay behind to stop whatever he's doing.
Right. And I could see that happening where like he unleashes some kind of new thing. And then that becomes like what we deal with in Star Wars after the sequel trilogy, you know? And, they've talked about this like movie that's going to tie together all the shows like The Mandalorian, The Book of Boba Fett, Ahsoka. But essentially with Ahsoka, maybe the thing that they're tying together is Thrawn's return. So maybe this movie with The Mandalorian, I guess Boba Fett too, and Thrawn, and Ahsoka is Thrawn. Like it's about the Thrawn kind of conflict.
That's kind of the vibe I always got from that. There was going to be a movie about Thrawn because I do feel like he deserves some kind of like a big send off really. And being that we have not seen him at all in any of the sequel movies.
Yeah.
I feel like he has to meet his end somewhere.
Yeah.
Before them.
Right. Right. And so, in that Eckhart's Ladder video, which was so great, he said that, Dave Filoni is kind of using this other galaxy, not necessarily like as like world building and like establishing this new world, but it's more like it's a plot point. Because it's kind of there to potentially be like, well, how come we don't know where Ezra, Ahsoka, or Sabine are in the sequel trilogy?
Yeah, but okay. So if they're not involved in whatever Baylan's doing,
yeah,
I think it's kind of a waste to just kind of strand them there. I think they kind of have to be involved with whatever Thrawn is doing.
Yeah. But think about this. They could almost have like a win-win. And see, here's the funny thing. Like just describing this to you, I feel like this is fantasy booking shit. And like, they're not going to do anything like this.
Yeah.
But like, you know, a lot of people say that the Thrawn stuff is going to be like their own version of Heir to the Empire. But for this canon Star Wars. And that the movie that Dave Filoni is going to direct is like, they're going to be like another kind of version of Heir to the Empire. Well, what if instead of having like CGI Luke and stuff like that, they actually just recast Luke Skywalker? They use fucking Aaron Engelhardt or whatever the fuck that guy is who played Han Solo, right? And then maybe get like Millie Bobby Brown as Princess Leia. See, I already know this is not going to happen because it sounds too good. But like, you know, you have these people playing the younger, I mean, not the younger, but like the Return of the Jedi era versions of these characters. And then they could be like main characters in a new Star Wars movie.
I would pay a lot of money to see that.
I mean, would that be fucking
awesome? I mean, I think that's kind of like how you resurrect the, you know, the kind of the stink on the more recent movies.
Exactly. Exactly. And I mean, dude, come on. They already have the perfect fucking actor to play Luke of that age.
Yeah, Sebastian Stan.
Exactly.
So I think Millie Bobby Brown's a little bit too young to play an older Leia, but I see the similarities. Absolutely.
I know there's definitely been a picture of an actress where they showed her, and I think she even was dressed like Princess Leia. I was like, holy shit, she looks just like Carrie Fisher. I was thinking that maybe it was Millie Bobby Brown, that she had like the Princess Leia get up from the first movie.
And watch, it was like a Kardashian.
Oh my God. Now, you know, I recoil when you say that, but then, like, have you ever seen their fucking cosplay that they did for, like, Halloween, where she was, like, Mystique?
The X-Men one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, because she was, like, Mystique, but then somebody else was, like, Storm, right? And they were,
somebody else was someone a little more obscure, too, I think. It was Mystique and Storm, and then, I don't remember what the other one was.
Yeah, they were, like, real fucking obscure, awesome X-Men characters. It's like, damn.
Yeah, I gotta look it up now.
You gotta look it up. Okay, I gotta look it up too. But yeah, let's keep this Thrawn thing going. So what I'm trying to say to you is, this is all fantasy booking stuff. I guarantee they're not gonna do it. But if you bring back the original trilogy characters, you have them go against Thrawn, and you bring in like maybe some of the Rebels people. You definitely have like Boba Fett come in, and maybe he's kind of dealing with Han Solo. That'd be real fucking interesting.
You have to see Han and Boba Fett interact. Hell yeah.
Yes, you have Han and Boba Fett interact, and then you also have fucking you have Lando, but have him played by fucking
Donald Glover.
Yeah. Dude, yeah,
I mean, I know people were down on Solo, and I still liked it, but yeah, I mean, and this is like major fantasy booking here, but man, this has actually really got me excited, and I'd be okay with leaving these characters in this other universe then. But then again, I hope they get to do something there, and they're just not like living in with these little hermit people and having threesomes all the time or something.
Little hermit crab people. Well, no, I mean, you could literally, like, potentially spin like two trilogies out of this, because you could do a trilogy that is like the Thrawn stuff with him returning, and it's based on Heir to the Empire, and it's got Luke and Han and Leia, and then you could bring in fucking Ahsoka and Ezra and all those people, and they are dealing with whatever's happening with Baylan, and that could be, you know, after the sequel trilogy.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know, man.
I have no flaws here. Like, I hope this happens somehow, even though I know it won't.
Exactly. It won't. Because it just, like, it's almost like it's too good. It's like it's just going to make more money for them, and they just can't do it.
Yes. Just to go back to, 2 minutes or so ago, it was Mystique, Celine, and Magic. Not even Storm.
Did she have the fucking magic sword?
Yeah, she had the sword. She had the pointy things from the more recent costumes.
Holy shit. And yeah. Celine, that's a deep cut. I mean, Magic's a deep cut, too.
Yeah.
For people that aren't us, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. I gotta look that picture up after we're done with this. All right, so anyway, let's talk about what actually happens in this episode. Ahsoka makes it through with the whale, and she comes out, and there's all these mines there, and all the Purgle whales are getting blown up. They all just jump back into hyperspace, which I'm assuming is kind of taking them out of the picture. Like, they're not going to be able to just hop on a whale and go back home now.
Yeah. Yes. You know, the episode ends with Ezra says, I have a feeling I'm going home. And you know, there's no way. Cause I mean, the whole point of the episode was Thrawn's preparedness for this. You know, we didn't know he set the minefield. So actually it was a nice surprise to me, honestly. It was a nice, cause you do feel like he's playing chess, you know,
right?
It really feels like that. And that was a great move, honestly. Just his whole goal was this: delay her and, you know, give her what they want, you know, but just keep her far enough away from us so we can do what we want.
Right.
Because really, he said it last episode. What they're doing is inconsequential to what we're doing.
Yes.
We're getting out of here. And if they die, great. If they're not, I don't give a shit. I'm out of here.
I'm gone. Yeah. So they got the mine set up, and it's not like a matter of, oh, I need to get my revenge, or, you know, I'm going to fight against this Jedi. It's just like, no, my goal is to go back to the other galaxy. So. Yeah. It seems like he's essentially a step away. I mean, what we'll see happen is either that Ahsoka and her people will like get on his ship and then make the trip with them, or they'll be stranded there. I feel like that's really the only two alternatives.
Yeah.
You know,
but I mean, I'm very curious how they wrap it up in one episode here. And yeah. You know, they have a habit of having, I feel like most of these Star Wars shows have a habit of having a shorter finale than you'd expect.
Yeah.
Like, you'd almost expect like a double length episode to wrap everything up, especially after this, but it's probably going to be like 35 minutes. And
yeah. And you're like, what? Yeah. I got Star Wars blue balls now. Yeah. I personally, before we started talking about all this Baylan shit, I was thinking that like, we don't see any of him in the next episode at all. And then there's a post credit scene where he goes and discovers something. And then we're like, oh, what is that? I feel like that's the way the show ends.
But again, that only is going to, I feel like it's only going to matter if if you know Ahsoka, Sabine, and Ezra get left behind. And if they do, then then I'm going to expect that kind of a stinger. But then again, we're also complicated by the fact that Ray Stevenson passed away, and we don't know what they're going to do with the character. I mean, it's very possible they could recast, but we know that you know, Disney hasn't always done that. You know, like very famously, didn't recast Black Panther.
Yes, yes, yes.
So,
well, don't you feel like the way the story's going though? It's setting Baylan up for a sort of like a Ark of the Covenant, like Indiana Jones type thing. Like, you know, Indiana Jones' enemy always dies kind of by unleashing the thing that they're trying to get.
True. But he said he wants to end the cycle. I feel like if he's just releasing some evil thing, is that really the right thing? Is that really like a possible goal? I mean.
Yeah,
maybe,
I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't know.
And then
I
also mean, we also have to consider Shin Hati. She's still around. She's still there. She's still working with the Empire. She runs back. So yeah. Like, you know, what is she going to do in the last episode if they don't make it back there?
Okay.
How does she fit into you know our fantasy booking of you know recast original Star Wars characters?
Okay, I got a little theory for you. I think that maybe she makes it back to Thrawn's ship, and she takes off with Thrawn, and then maybe she could fight Luke and stuff in the fantasy booking story we're talking about.
And she's Mara Jade in disguise.
Ah! People were talking about Sabine as like a replacement Mara Jade.
Sabine.
Yeah, yeah.
Huh. I mean, let me ask you this: her character.
What's that?
The actress or the character?
Well, they're basically saying, like, if we're not going to have an actual Mara Jade in this new canon, that Sabine could fill that role.
Role? Okay.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. Do you think that, like, Sabine, as someone who hasn't watched Rebels, just like me, do you think, like, Sabine and Ezra have kind of, like, a romantic thing, or is it just, like, a friend thing?
I got a brother-y, sister-y vibe, but, I mean, you never know. I mean, maybe I got a little bit here.
Yeah, well, vibe here. With Star Wars, brothery, sistery vibes are okay, you know?
Yeah, that's very true.
So I actually really liked Ezra in this episode. He was kind of a standout for me.
I agree. I think that actor is great. He did a really great job. I really like the whole take, like, you know, I don't need the saber. I don't need the blaster. I have the Force.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, the way he used it was really cool.
Absolutely.
And then he eventually does grab a blaster, and he's, you know, still capable of fighting like that. So he was really great. I wish he was in more episodes, and I hope we see more of him, you know, with these other characters.
Yeah. I'm telling you, dude, I am all down for like a whole trilogy of movies of them in this other galaxy. Because I think we've talked about this too, but that other show with Jude Law, right? What's that show called? Like
Skeleton Crew.
Skeleton Crew. That's supposed to take place in this galaxy too.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Ooh, okay.
It's like lost in space, and Jude Law is like some kind of Jedi of some type, and he's with kids, and they're in this galaxy.
Oh, I didn't realize he was a Jedi. I thought he was just like a. I did know the kid angle because I remember seeing like the leaked stuff from Celebration, the last Celebration. Yeah, but I didn't realize he was a Jedi.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is a good thing though, right? Because like, all the strikes were putting all this stuff off. And now I think we're back on track. You know, we're going to get that show in 2024, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So, okay. We were talking about Ezra. We were talking about Sabine. We had a couple of different battles. We had Ahsoka. We had some space like shit where like she's being chased by fighter ships or whatever. Then we have her on the ground fighting against Baylan. He kind of goes off on his own. We have this battle with like the hermit crab people and Sabine and Ezra, right? Did you like all that stuff?
Yes, and I'd like to point out too that you can really tell Ahsoka feels a little bit more joyful, I guess.
Yeah,
she seems a lot more like her younger self now after this whole ordeal in two episodes ago. So just the little scene where. You know, her ship comes back and kind of lays down some suppressing fire and distracts Baylan for a second, and she steals the wolf dude. And she made like a little quip there, you know? So that felt very young Ahsoka, which I don't think we had seen very much of. We had seen her kind of crack a couple little jokes with Yang. But nothing to this level, you know, like it was a little more adventurous and
She's like smiling and stuff a lot too. I like Hu Yang makes this one joke of like, he's like, I hope I survive to see this reunion or something like that. Like I like that one joke. And I was worried he actually was gonna die.
Yeah, because he was flying around by himself for quite some time. Yeah.
I'm just trying to think. There's like maybe two other things worth bringing up too. So you have this great sequence where Baylan is talking to Shin and he's basically telling her, your path is, you're on a separate path than me. I have this destiny with this new power and, you know, you have a destiny down there with the Empire. And then she basically is like abandoned by him.
Yeah, that was an interesting thing there. But I mean, and I definitely don't think that it was his purpose to go stall Ahsoka a little more, you know, 30 yards away.
right.
Definitely. Something else. It has to be something else.
Right. So we'll see. We'll see if it's a stinger or not in the last episode. And then there was just this surprise bit with Anakin too.
Yes. The holograms. Yeah. That was interesting to see too. And you brought up a very excellent point in your notes. You wondered if she had shown those to Luke or not.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Yeah. I mean, there's no reason for her not to, right?
Yeah, it's just like a training montage, and this dude's making a school and training, you know, little Yoda. I mean, no brainer.
Yeah, come on. Get it from the guy that becomes Darth Vader. Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, I personally feel like this show has turned it around. Yeah. I was kind of bored by it. I wasn't very invested in the beginning, but then pretty much once we've gone over to the new galaxy, I've been all on board.
Yeah. It's easily a solid, you know, in the middle. You know, I'm not fully convinced it's better than Mandalorian. We've already sung the praises of Andor here. We know none's touching that for us. It's a clear mid ground here, but I feel that's more on the positive side, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, that's not an insult.
No, I agree. It's definitely better than Book of Boba Fett, better than Obi-Wan. I think that's always going to be what we say for this show. And then, you know, we could do our ranking next week.
Yeah.
So next week, though, we're going to have this, and then we're going to have Citizen V, Gen V, right?
Gen V, yes. Which nice. Starts tomorrow.
Yeah, man, starts tomorrow. Yeah. Cool. And it's also my birthday tomorrow. So Gen if y'all.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. For my birthday, which is when this episode is going to drop, Friday, September 29th, one great gift you guys could give me is you could subscribe to our channel, Comic Books Transformed, where me and Brian meet every week to talk about streaming Star Wars shows and comic book shows. I think that's pretty much it, right? We got Gen V coming up, and then they just announced that Doom Patrol is coming in the beginning of October.
Yep, it's the 12th or the 13th of October, so
yeah,
that'll be good for that.
We're going to be pretty busy for the rest of 2023, but But until then, guys, we will see you next week. Thank you so much, and may the force be with you.